Have you wondered about living elsewhere in your retirement? Well, we have, almost daily. No, it's not a simple decision, especially when two people are involved.
Hi, this is
Gil
and Gene of Retire There, a podcast about retirement destinations. We live in Brooklyn, New York. Having grown up and worked in this area of the country, we're hoping to relocate when we're both retired. For us, it's the weather, the chaos, the noise, and the yearning to be near nature and not within 3 feet of human beings.
That's right.
In February 2020, we embarked on our journey to find that special place. We spent a week in Winter Park, Florida, which is beautiful, but something said it wasn't for us. As we were planning for the next trip, the pandemic arrived. Gene then gave birth.
I gave birth?
To this podcast. With so many baby boomers retiring, many must be relocating. Why not connect with and learn from them?
Here's a little background about us.
I'm Asian, born in Brazil, and grew up in Flatbush, Brooklyn. I'm an engineer turned attorney turned podcaster. I recently retired from a university career practicing higher education law. I love the academic environment, but it was time to do something else. I no longer have to set an alarm, drive in BQE traffic, or work with people who don't always share the same principles. Oh, did I just say that? You bet I did. I traded all that in to binge crime dramas into the wee hours, just a little bit, to develop the podcast, to volunteer, practice metalsmithing, tackle our possessions. No regrets so far, Gene.
I'm not Asian, and as Gil mentioned, I'm not retired. I'm just plain tired. Born and raised in Long Island, New York, a place I always wanted to leave. I'm a law librarian working in a court who loves his job, but we're retired by the time we select our ideal location. We will be speaking to folks from across the street to across the globe who have moved to their dream venues and more. So please stay tuned and remember, if you know anyone who has moved anywhere for retirement, let us know.
Thank you. Welcome to Retire There, everyone. Today, we check out what it's like to retire in the charming city of Santa Barbara, California, with Bob Wheeler and Kurt Klespies. Nestled between the Santa Ynez Mountains and the Pacific Ocean, 92 miles north of Los Angeles, Santa Barbara is known as the American Riviera for its sunny weather, sweeping coastlines, distinctive architecture, and world-class food and wines. It is the county seat of Santa Barbara County. This mission city on the Pacific has done a superb job of preserving its heritage and creating a livable modern city. Santa Barbara seniors enjoy mild temperatures, health and fitness options, and plenty of places to play and socialize. And that goes for non-seniors as well. The downtown offers wonderful high-end shopping. No billboards are permitted in town, and other signs are required to be small. Santa Barbara has an active cultural life with many museums and colleges, including UC Santa Barbara. There are more than 15 notable parks, some of them quite large. A number of films have been set in Santa Barbara, including The Graduate, which is one of Gene's favorite movies.
Yeah.
The TV show Psych was also set in Santa Barbara, though it was actually filmed in White Rock, British Columbia, Canada. Psych was our son's favorite show. Hilarious comedy, but we won't go into it here. Now, a little about our guests. Gene?
Bob was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. He attended Michigan State University and University of Nice Business School in Lyon, France. He worked as a residential real estate agent in San Francisco and is now retired. His interests include speaking French, playing piano, playing pickleball. We want to learn that, right, Gil?
Mm-hmm.
Socializing with friends, swimming, and biking. Kurt was born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. He attended Arizona State University. For the majority of his career, he held executive roles in retail, including The Gap, Pottery Barn, and is still working with Miller & Noel. He loves traveling.
Yeah, I love Miller & Noel, by the way. I hope you get a good discount there.
We do.
Oh, nice.
Welcome to Retire There, Bob and Kurt. Please tell us what led you to give up your home in San Francisco and retire to Santa Barbara in Southern California.
Well, that's a good question. It was a really difficult decision to leave San Francisco because I'd been there for over 30 years and Kurt had been there close to 20.
Mm-hmm.
We were just ready for a change because as beautiful as San Francisco is, the weather is pretty chilly, especially in the summer. Mm-hmm. So if you've never been to San Francisco in the summer, you're often in a down coat, the wind is whipping, the fog is coming in. And so we were ready for more of a warmer climate and a more Southern California experience. So that was really the primary driver for us to leave.
I would just add to that, that we knew at some point, because we were in a 2-unit building walk up, that at some point in the aging process, we would need to move out and be something either with an elevator building or easier access. And like a lot of people, the pandemic accelerated some of our decision making. We knew years ago, at some point, we would need to have a more accessible place to live. But with the pandemic, my role was moved to a work from home role as I was winding down my career. We just also reevaluated our lives, I think, like a lot of people did. And we said, what are we waiting for? One of the maybe glasses of lemonade of the pandemic is that it helped us focus on our long-term goals. And in that, we accelerated some decision-making. And part of that decision-making was, where do we want to live?
And you mentioned the lifestyle in Southern California. For those of us who are not familiar with that, I guess it's a market change. Can you describe it?
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're watching the movies, when you see California, people are out on the beach, the weather's beautiful, they're swimming, they're just having this wonderful experience. And San Francisco is, as I said, as beautiful as it is, it's not a beach lifestyle because right. the coastline's cool, the water's freezing, you can never get in unless maybe with a wetsuit. So Santa Barbara has a very temperate climate. I think the average year-round temperature is around 74.
Oh, nice.
The coldest it gets in the winter is in the mid-60s. I think 64 is the average temperature in January and February.
That is nice.
And even at 64, which is not super hot, once the sun is out, it's super warm. So year-round, we're in shorts. And so I personally wanted to sort of experience that Southern California lifestyle because I experienced San Francisco, Northern California for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. And as wonderful as it was, we just wanted some warm weather, and we live by the beach, by the ocean. So that's the reason.
I would just build on it that, you know, you heard in, you know, our introduction, Bob's from Michigan, I'm from Missouri. So we grew up in the four season environment.
Yeah.
So we had that life experience, and we lived in New York for a bit. Similarly, we had a big city four season. Mm-hmm. So we feel like we had the experiences to help us guide where do we want to be. And our choice was to be in a place that was more temperate and year round. And then we would visit to seasons as opposed to
I like
experience
that.
Them throughout the year.
Okay.
Right. You could still drive to the mountains to go skiing, right?
I mean, yes, not that's far. Right. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
And so is your living quarters now, is it, I assume you were, when you said in San Francisco, hilly or climbing up steps, are you kind of in a ranch style? Can you talk about your housing?
Yes, our house is a ranch home, and that was one of our requirements. We didn't want steps.
Right.
So in San Francisco, we were on the second floor, but it was actually three flights of very steep steps to get up there.
Yeah.
So we were very adamant about having a property that didn't have steps. So it's a ranch style home. Small. It's 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom. That's about 1,400 square feet. You drive into a garage, and then you walk from the garage right into your house, which is very foreign for us. And we love the ease and the accessibility of it.
Yeah.
And it's all on one level. So we chose a home that we knew we could age in.
Well, 1,400 square feet is a good size. I mean, it's not.
That's our house.
That's our house without the basement.
Without the basement, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for two people, I think, you know, and even with guests, I think it's still comfy. Yeah. Okay, so that's nice. Can you talk to us about looking during your search process for a home and kind of the pricing? What was that like?
Yeah. And I suppose just, you know, we were looking at first in Northern California outside the city in the Marin, San Rafael area. So we had targeted a few areas. And then as the search went on and we spent time in Santa Barbara, we narrowed and kept narrowing to, okay, Santa Barbara's our primary. And because we weren't living in the city, we actively used all of the digital resources, the websites. Mm-hmm. You know, we worked with a really fantastic agent here who has been here for, I think, her whole life.
She has. Yeah.
And so she's market expert. You know, this is a community of size that you can feel alone, meaning like you're not so small that everyone knows you, but also it's small enough where people know each other. So she was really well connected and was really able to help guide us in the search. And we started at the top of the pandemic, as I mentioned, very quickly. very quickly, like a lot of the other data that showed like people were leaving the cities, people were leaving Manhattan, people were leaving Chicago, you know, that shift. One of the particular areas in California, Santa Barbara was one of them that people were choosing, like us. So the competition became quite quick. And we were very worried at first we weren't worried. And I think a couple months into our search, we're like, you know, we feel like we might get priced out. Mm-hmm. But the prices were moving so quickly. And there was, just like a lot of other areas, no inventory coming on the market. So that the supply and demand relationship was really pushing prices up, you know, just like a lot of other people, it accelerated some angst. And so we knew that we had to be decisive in our decision making. We lost a few places in the bid process, and we felt we were being generous. We wonder today if we were going into the market in such a short time, just a year later, about a year and a half since our search, we're probably priced out of where we live now.
Wow.
Well, and just for our dynamic and our, you know, what we were wanting, single level, you know, finished home, those sorts of things, that we would probably have to get a fixer or trade off neighborhoods or different things. You know, gotcha. We feel very fortunate because we felt the window closing through the ability for us to find the home that we wanted in Santa Barbara.
And just to interject, during the period of time we were looking, because we looked for about 9 months to a year before we found our property, the market went up 40% in Santa Barbara. And it was because, since, as Kurt had said, because of the pandemic, people working from home, they could live anywhere. They were reevaluating whether they wanted to be in big cities. And Santa Barbara is so desirable. Mm-hmm. We had people come from New York and Chicago and San Francisco and Los Angeles. So there was this huge pressure on the market, and it pushed up really quickly. At a certain point, we thought we were going to get priced out and couldn't get in the market. But we got in just in time, we felt, for us.
So what kinds of prices are we talking about, even though we're talking about this higher amount, be that as it may?
So if you're in Santa Barbara proper, so there's some outlying communities, but Santa Barbara proper.
Okay.
You're looking at north of $1,000 a foot.
Wow. Okay.
You know, the starter ranch home, you know, 1400 square feet, you know, that needs some work. You're pushing $1,500 a foot, $1 million a home.
How much a home? I didn't hear that.
$2 million is the entry. We have a couple ranches that just open up in our area, and they're right at the 2 million mark at about 1500 square feet that needs some work. It's certainly a big financial decision always to purchase a home and purchase them anywhere. And the weight of this one for us was significant. It was our goal was to find the last destination home, right? That this is the place that we wanted to spend time. So we took the decision seriously, and the weight of it financially, of course, is also heavy.
And I was just going to add that the only reason we really could afford to live here is because we came from an expensive market. We came from San Francisco, where house prices were really high. So we were fortunate enough to own a home or a condo in San Francisco, and we were able to sell that to move here. If we were coming here from, you know, Des Moines, Iowa today, we probably would turn around and leave because the prices are really pricey.
Right.
But if you come from a higher market, you can probably do it.
One of the things that is enabling people over 50 in California to move is we passed a proposition in the last general election that allows you to transfer your tax base of your previous home if you purchase up.
Oh.
So over 50, if you sell your home and buy another home in anywhere in California, and the new purchase price is higher than the sales price of your previous home, you can transfer your tax base and only add the incremental. So if you sold at 2 million, you buy at 1 million, 2 million one. Mm-hmm. So there's an incremental $100,000 added to your tax base. Mm-hmm. So that proposition is really for the whole state, freed up seniors who otherwise couldn't afford the taxes in their new home. So it's freed up real estate all across the state, where people over 50 now feel like, okay, I can sell and move to Southern or Northern, you know, because I know that there's a reverse commute as well. People in Southern California will get more. So that for us was a tremendous factor, us feeling comfortable in making a decision, as opposed to holding on longer in San Francisco. The impact to the tax, the assessed tax value was really important.
Yeah. I think those incentives are so important.
It's interesting. Gil always says, if you really want it, you can live in any town or city in the country. So obviously, Santa Barbara is an expensive place. But I went online this morning if you really want to live there, you can get a manufactured home. Also used to be known as a mobile home, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. The most inexpensive one I found, which for some reason you can only live in it for half the year, was $117,000 for a one bedroom, one bath, manufactured a mobile home. But it did have a beautiful, it's right near the mountains. It was a beautiful view of the mountains. So I guess if you really want to live somewhere. And the next price was, there was one, it looked like a double wide manufactured home for $225,000, two bedroom, two bath. And then all the other ones for a manufactured home, about $500,000 or above, which is a lot of money for a manufactured home. Yep. But I guess if you really want to live there, you can do it.
I think it's more than that. I think you don't have to necessarily compromise the type of home. I've always believed that people say when they find out we live in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn has boomed, I mean, in the last, I don't know, 5 to whatever years, and it's become, certain areas have become almost untouchable. And the people moving in are young. So where's this money coming from? And they're not necessarily, they're either baby trusts, or
mommy and daddy in Ohio.
Yeah. Or they're in jobs that are paying astronomical, which I find is not necessarily the case. Like, for example, in Williamsburg, where you guys lived in New York, and Williamsburg, you know, was very close, that part of Brooklyn. And it was so easy to get into Manhattan from there. But you just look at some of these little condos and they were going for 1.6, 1.7. And that was on the low end. Mm. And I thought, why?
But Gail, I think a place like Santa Barbara, I don't think you can really, unless you find one of these manufactured homes, you can't find anything because these houses are going, and correct me if I'm wrong, some of them are going for $500,000 over asking price.
That's right. Yeah, right. That's very common.
In Santa Barbara last year, Santa Barbara proper, half the homes were paid for in cash.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Wow.
Money, right? So that helps with the stability of the housing prices long term, mm-hmm. that people with such disposable or such accrued wealth, that it stabilizes these high prices. So it's in such demand that, you know, that it's not as beholden to the interest rate shifts we're currently seeing that may suppress some markets where mm-hmm. people are financing. I think the same thing sometimes when I see younger people, but I also like, how can they afford? Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
We're in a modest home. There is this feeling, because we felt the same in New York that you were talking about with Williamsburg and coming from San Francisco. And I worry about this for my nieces and nephews, this real distance, quality of home for the dollar, especially now as we're entering this inflationary period. How does the next generation even get their foot in the door? I certainly worry about that for my nieces and nephews.
Well, a lot of student debt is being focused on, whereas in our days, that was not.
We had to pay it,
right? What about rents, rentals? Do you have any idea of what those kind of go for?
Yeah, the rental market is just as tight as the home purchasing market in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. One of the things, you know, because Santa Barbara is built out at this point, really. So there's not a lot of open space to build additional. We're really looking at repurposing the existing lots. And Santa Barbara, as tight as they are on aesthetics and maintaining this Spanish architecture, and the permitting process is really slow, they know that they need to bring housing on the market and have really accelerated what we call additional dwelling units or ADUs being built on properties, which is bringing some units online. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have a neighbor that did a conversion and added an ADU onto their unit, and a very small, and just down the street from us, a very small one bedroom. I'm guessing it's 400.
About 400 square feet.
About 400 square feet, and just running for $2,500.
Wow.
Wow.
And single family homes are running for about $6,000, I think, mm-hmm. is about the starting mm-hmm. price point.
That's a lot.
It's Manhattan pricing for sure for rents.
Yeah. You're lucky to be there.
We are. We feel very fortunate.
Yeah. And Bob talked about the weather. I think that we focused in our decision, you know, weather. We didn't target areas, we focused on objectives in the process. So objectively, we wanted to be by warmer weather. We also wanted a city that had access to healthcare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Santa Barbara has a great regional, as you mentioned, it's the county seat. So it has a lot of regional services, but it also has a really, really strong regional healthcare system that's based here. But it's also close enough if you, there's specialists here, but if you really needed something, you mentioned we're 90 minutes north of LA, you can get to Cedars or one of the other world-class hospitals just an hour and a half away. Mm-hmm. But on its own anything that you would need a specialist or peer. So healthcare was important to us. And there are a lot of retirees. So things related to healthcare specifically for people who are aging is also very strong here. And then we have an airport. It's not an international airport, but it's big enough where you can get direct flights to Chicago and Denver. If you need in, or San Francisco, of course, and LA. So if you wanted to go international, it's just a short jump to change to a different terminal. Okay. But I travel a little bit still to the East Coast for business. So I just connect in Denver, connect in Chicago. So you're able to traverse with travel pretty easily. So it had the healthcare, check that box, had the weather, check that box, travel, check that box. Mm-hmm. And for us, our social network's really important. We have friends in Southern California, friends in Northern California. So it allows us to be able to keep the core part of our social network intact without big disruption. And that's been, for us, we feel like we've become a little bit of like Hotel Santa Barbara.
Every weekend is booked. So you need to book now if you want to book for 2023.
Better get that in, Gene.
That's right. It's all soon because we're booking fast.
Funny.
But Santa Barbara is a desirable place to visit. So I don't know if people like us that much, but they like coming to Santa Barbara.
Do you feel that, you know, your social life is there, but it's a different vibe, right? So do you feel you don't have that kind of city energy of SF? In terms of activities, has that changed much? I mean, are you now like, because you're so close to the water, are you doing less kind of city things, or the theaters are different, right? It's just kind of a different lifestyle.
Yeah, it's a different lifestyle. I mean, I would say we're much more active. Like as soon as we got here, we bought e-bikes because we live on a hill. And so we wanted to have an e-bike to get up and down the hill. But we bike a lot. There are beautiful outdoor pools, like 50-meter pools. If you're a swimmer, it's a great place to swim. So we'll swim.
Are those public pools?
Yeah, they're public pools. And they're right on the harbor, right on the bay. They're beautiful.
Wow.
Like with palm trees, outdoors. I mean, it's really the quintessential Southern California experience. Uh-huh. I've taken up pickleball, which I love. And it's been a really big social network, or we've met a lot of people through that sport. So we're definitely much more active than we were in San Francisco. In San Francisco, you know, it's more, like you said, urban activities, walking to the coffee shop, things like that. So it's changed how we live.
Yeah.
I feel for the better, and it's a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good because you're aging and you want to really, that's when we start. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just going to add too, and the good news is there are somewhat big city activities here. There are museums. There are theaters where they have like Broadway plays that come through. There's a wonderful venue called the Santa Barbara Bowl, which is an outdoor venue for concerts. Mm-hmm. Like we've seen John Legend there. They get big names there.
Yeah.
And it's a lovely outdoor venue overlooking the Pacific Ocean.
Oh.
I mean, it's really a magical space.
Wow.
So it's close enough to Los Angeles where you get a lot of the arts and entertainment. And then if you want a bigger production like Hamilton, for example, you can drive to Los Angeles. So we don't feel a lack of cultural activity here, which makes it lovely.
Right.
And that was important to us as well, because having lived in Manhattan and San Francisco, we didn't want to go to a place that was void of any sort of cultural activity and that was just a beach town. Really nice mix.
Yeah, and without that smog.
Without the smog and the traffic.
Oh and my the traffic, God,
that Los Angeles traffic.
Oh, what about? We joke about rush hour here. Starts at 4, is over about 4:15.
No way.
Yeah, I know. And the Bay Bridge in San Francisco has gotten insane in recent years.
Yeah, the traffic in the Bay Area is horrible.
It's true. But I think every city, we hear that from our friends or when we visit, from Atlanta to Nashville to where, just every city traffic, you know, I just don't know if the infrastructure is keeping up across the country with growing population. But certainly San Francisco, we were fortunate that we lived in the city. Worked in the city that we didn't have to traverse the bridges. Because you know, like just saying like New York, like when you have to When bridges and tunnels enter the equation, it gets even more complicated.
Oh, yeah.
The nice part about Santa Barbara is while we do have, like said, from 4 to 4:30, there's heavy traffic. Yeah. For the most part, you're rarely in traffic jams. It's a small city. You can traverse it really quickly. And if there is, if it's backed up on a freeway for some reason, if there's an accident, yeah, you can just take surface roads along the ocean. I mean, it's a beautiful drive along by the beaches to wherever you want to go. So
yeah,
that's really been nice that we've gotten out of a high traffic area.
Yeah. As Californians, any concern about, well, because you're further south now, so you're kind of away from all those environmental issues, right? Like fires and all that.
Santa Barbara has fires. All of California does, actually. And when I moved to San Francisco 30 plus years ago, really most of the fires were down in Southern California. Oh. We didn't have them in Northern California. But climate has changed,
yeah,
Northern California is getting hit really hard. We were really sensitive to that. It's hard to find a place in California that doesn't have that as a risk. But what we did, so the hills of Santa Barbara have had major fires. And Montecito as well, which is just south of us, they had terrible fires and some flooding. So there are things that you have to think about. We did find a property. Fortunately, it's in a neighborhood called the Mesa, which is right on the ocean.
Okay.
Which the hills right on the ocean tend to be less fire prone. So in fact, we had bid on a property up in the hills in Santa Barbara, and we had a hard time finding an insurer that would insure it because of the fire risk.
Wow.
Yeah. It's interesting, like, to build on that. Sorry to cut.
No, I was just going to say, I was just going to finish and say that in the neighborhood we ended up getting in, it's not considered in a fire zone or a tsunami zone because Santa Barbara has a risk of tsunami. They've had tsunamis in the past because of offshore earthquakes. So you have, no matter where you go, you're going to have some sort of natural disaster risk, right? Whether it's a tornado in the Midwest or a hurricane in Florida, our risks are wildfire, earthquake, and potential tsunami.
Yeah.
But we just had to make an educated choice and said, okay, this area what we chose is less at risk as other areas within the area. So yeah, California, you have that risk.
No, I think you said it, you know, like, you know, it's just all assumed risk.
Yeah.
And we've been in California long enough and through some earthquakes. And we feel being on a low fire risk area combined with low tsunami risk. And the reason we're a tsunami risk is this part of California, the fault lines lie in the ocean, not on land.
Yeah.
So in Southern Cal, way southern, like San Diego and LA, and then way up north, the fault lines are on land. So they're more earthquake prone here because the fault lines are out in the ocean. We're tsunami prone.
Yeah.
But they have had earthquakes here too, though.
Absolutely.
There's a fault line that does it as well.
I have a question about quality of life. I know I love San Francisco. I love the Bay Area so much. My sister lives in Berkeley. Problem is, in recent years visiting there, the quality of life seems to be tougher to live there. For instance, if you have a car, everybody tells you don't leave anything in the car. And I know somebody I know left his laptop in there, and they broke the glass and took it. And it seems to be quite common. Do you have those kind of problems in Santa Barbara?
Well, I know there's crime in Santa Barbara, but it's nothing like we experienced in the Bay Area because we've had our car in San Francisco broken in several times where we've left just a minor thing in the car and they break the windows to get it, whatever it is. In Santa Barbara, there we don't see a whole lot of car crimes and break-ins. We laugh about that because in San Francisco, we'd say we're not leaving a scrap of paper out. Somebody's going to come in and break in for it.
Yeah.
In Santa Barbara, it's just there's a much lighter feeling like, oh, I can leave my pickleball bag on the seat when I go into the grocery store and not have to worry about it. And so that alleviated that concern. It seems like the comparative to the Bay Area, it seems like the level of crime is lower and also the level of homeless as well. The problem in the Bay Area is really, really bad.
Very sad. Yeah.
Really sad. You know, all the major West Coast cities, Seattle, Portland, San Diego, San Francisco, they all have this problem. And there is a homeless problem as well in Santa Barbara, but nothing to the degree of the Bay Area. So it's a lighter sort of environment for me. I really appreciate that after living in a large city like San Francisco.
Yeah.
You have anything to add, Kurt?
No. Maybe I do. Then I started talking. I feel like Bob's point about all of the West Coast cities, I think we could go into Canada. Vancouver has a similar problem and stretch over to Austin, you know. So I feel like there is a need for local response, but also I feel like there is a need for a national response on this particular topic, you know, because it's a tough one. You want to have heart and compassion. I know exactly what you're talking about with Berkeley, you know, and I'm heading over to 4th Street, and it's just very difficult to see. You know,
it's really difficult. And that's new.
I'm like Bob, you know, I feel like in some ways we were desensitized a bit in San Francisco after all those years, and same thing in Manhattan. And now that we don't see it as much here, when we go back to San Francisco, you know, we see it differently.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, when I went out to the West Coast recently, it just seemed to have like grown. In New York, you kind of see it's, but the weather, of course, in New York is so cold.
And the cost of living in California has made it even more complex problem, because many people that are homeless now, they were able to afford an apartment or a house. Mm-hmm. And now they've been pushed out because the rents have skyrocketed and housing prices have skyrocketed. So that's one part of the problem that's made it worse. And then in cities like San Francisco that have a big budget for the homeless problem. So they're doing a lot to really house them and correct them.
Yeah.
But as a result, then the homeless people from all over the area gravitate to San Francisco because they know that they may be housed or there may be a problem. So it's a magnet for them as well.
Yeah.
So it's a very complex problem.
And
it really exploded over COVID, got much worse. And we saw much more tent encampments and things like that in the city. So yeah, I don't know the answer. It's a very big problem for the Bay Area and for California, but Santa Barbara seems to have less of it. I don't know why, but it does.
And what about, did you consider small city we loved, Carmel? Do you consider Carmel at all?
I'm just going to jump in here because I lived in Carmel when I was fresh out of college and just started my career. I worked for Macy's. They sent me down to Carmel. There was a store in Monterey and I lived there for a year and a half. As beautiful as Carmel is, it's very sleepy. Talk about there's no culture. It's beautiful. Beautiful, but there's really nothing to do there, at least I found.
Yeah.
And the weather is not great. It's very foggy, but the rugged beauty is lovely. The town of Carmel is charming and Monterey is charming. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't have a big enough population to support the arts or even a big healthcare system, and the weather's not great. So Carmel, since I experienced it in the mid 80s, it wasn't on a short list by any means.
I'm so glad you went through that, Bob, because I have this magical kind of, because I was only there for a short time, as opposed to the other parts like San Diego. We've been there quite a few times in San Francisco. But I'm so glad because I always thought, I think that's like a consideration if we were going to go to the West Coast. And I didn't see any of these things. So I'm glad now it's off my list.
I would just say it's the weather is not good. It's often very foggy and very cold. It has that similar Northern California weather that San Francisco had that we wanted to leave. Mm-hmm. You know, the culture there is the aquarium, right? They all have the Monterey Aquarium.
I love it.
Shopping is Macy's in the mall. And there's just not a whole lot going on. It's a great place to go for a weekend if it's a sunny day.
Yeah.
For the beauty, because there is an exquisite natural beauty.
And
it's just north of Big Sur, so it's lovely. But I would say for us, it wasn't a place we would have even considered.
Yeah, I would probably get bored of that tree, you know, and that little step out.
Those are my 2 cents.
Thank you.
What about, so your location, how far are you from the beach? Can you walk there or bike there?
We can walk or bike to the beach. We're half a mile from the beach.
Oh, wow. Nice. That's great.
So you can see it from your windows?
Yes. We can see it from the
window. So cool.
And what about the little downtown that you have? Well, it's not that little, I guess. How How far is that?
From our house, it's about a mile or about a mile.
Yeah, we have a little quarter mile away. We have our local community, like our area.
Restaurants.
The local coffee houses. Yeah.
Correct. Coffee. All of that, like within a very short walking distance. But the downtown corridor.
About a mile and a half.
Yeah, about a mile and a half.
From the house, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we can easily bike it. We can easily bike it on our e-bikes or drive to, of course.
And it's beautiful. That whole corridor is all Spanish architecture. So think white stucco, red tile roof, and all the stairs have those inlays of beautiful colored tiles, you know, so with palm trees or jacarandas in bloom. And so it is really pretty. And it's a nice mix of what I would call national players. Like you're going to find a Lululemon there. You know, you're going to find national players, but then also all of these local Santa Barbara clothing stores and food and beverage. So it's a nice mix of corporate America and local companies. So about a mile and a half.
And I was just going to say, and it has a vibe like you're in Spain because of the white stucco and the tile roofs.
Nice.
And there's lots of fountains and courtyards and bougainvillea growing. And sometimes it's, am I in Spain? Where am I here? I mean, it's a special town.
Yeah, and those are pretty, the bougainvillea coming up the summit. Really, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what about restaurants? Is it all types of restaurants? Can you get whatever you want?
Yeah. So, you know, we have Michelin level restaurants here, and then we have the local taqueria and taco truck.
Nice.
And everything in between. And because we're on the coast, of course, catch of the day. You know, you're going to, you know, if you like seafood, there is catch of the day. In fact, you can go to the harbor on Saturdays morning. We have a farmer's market that's exquisite on Saturday mornings. It's all fresh all year long, whatever fruit, produce you want. Oh, nice. But we also have a fresh seafood market on Saturday mornings, and you can go get, sometimes they're still live, sometimes just on ice caught. So everything with a real bend towards seafood.
But eat healthy. You can eat healthy.
And having come from San Francisco, we were a little nervous about the food scene because San Francisco is so incredible. Mm-hmm. But we have found just really wonderful restaurants in Santa Barbara. You know, it's a cosmopolitan area. It draws people that want to eat well. So there's a lot of good restaurants. There's a lot of chefs that come up from LA to open a thing. So we eat very well. And we're about 10 minutes just north of Montecito. Mm-hmm. And Montecito has a lot of great restaurants as well. We're always on looking up for Oprah and Harry and Meghan. We haven't seen that. They have a lot of nice restaurants there as well. So we eat well.
Okay. And I would say the prices are probably comparable to San Francisco in terms of the restaurants, right?
It's funny you mentioned that. You know, at first we thought like, well, we have to find the next tier down in price point. But we just realized prices are very San Francisco. And I don't know about New York. I assume it's like here that for us, we notice inflation in food and beverage, right?
Especially now.
It was pricey and now it's even a bit more pricey.
And I would even say that's maybe even a little, it feels like a little more expensive than San Francisco. Like even when we've had friends that have come, they've said prices are high here in the restaurant.
Yeah. And of course, you know, it's, you know, if you get off of that main street, right, that's when you find the, you know, kind of not lower price point. That's the wrong way to say it, but you can maybe get a little bit more for your money, I guess.
Just
great food.
Yeah, like in our neighborhood, Mesa. Mm-hmm.
It's funny because we've been interviewing people abroad, and when they say you go down to the Green Market or the seafood the catch of the day, they're paying like pennies compared to us. Okay. And in New York, you know, you go to a Green Market because everything's labeled organic. You're like, okay, I'm expecting to pay like $4 for this potato, or I shouldn't say potato.
You're exaggerating, but
they have the little homemade breads, and everything is so she and cute that you just wind up paying that cost. So some of these markets, you really have to search and get used to the vendors.
I think that we would agree with you, like the same market experience are open air farmers market and seafood markets. You don't go there to save money.
Yeah.
They're expensive.
Absolutely. From strawberries to whatever it is, you can find the best and the freshest, like the strawberries were picked the day before, you know, they're organic, no pesticides. So you're getting the best. And so we focus on, because we're not in unlimited resources, we focus on not wasting whatever that is. How do we have zero waste in that?
Me too.
Share it with friends, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Okay.
All right, what about shopping? Gil's big question she asks sometimes, is there a Trader Joe's around?
Oh, yeah.
Two.
Well, there's two in Santa Barbara, and then there's one in Goleta.
Yeah.
So there's at least three. So yeah, we go to Trader Joe's. I go to Trader Joe's at least twice a week.
So we
I love Trader Joe's.
And also the good thing is in Manhattan, the line wraps through the entire store.
Yeah.
Here you walk right up there and you don't wait 1 second because there's always you're waiting. Yeah.
Well, I think more and just as exciting maybe is that you can like pull your car into the lot and park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It does have an ease. So you know, to your point about shopping, yeah, we have a local market group here that's kind of our version of Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. We have Whole Foods, but we have a local player that has, it's just, you know, wonderful selection. So, but then we have, you know, our versions of Safeways and Vons, where if you want Doritos and Coke, you know, you've got that grocery store for that end. And then you've got high end grocery store options from Bristol Farms to Lazy Acres.
Yeah,
and then you have the mid price point players like a Trader Joe's. They're all here. But I think the only thing in shopping that you feel the impact of, and I think that it was a pre-pandemic shift, was, I don't know if we want to call it the Amazon effect or whatever, but so many people going online, that kind of the main street corridor, you see some vacancies where people just couldn't survive.
That's the problem in every city.
Yeah,
now.
We have that.
Yeah, worldwide.
So that sort of, and you know, by the way, we're part of the problem.
Yeah.
You know? Getting our boxes delivered.
Yeah.
No.
Actually, you're the problem. I don't remember.
All right, Kurt, you and I, man, we're on the same team.
No, full disclosure, I ordered from Amazon too.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah. That's right.
So you see that kind of shift happening where you're starting to see, like we had a Nordstrom's go out.
Oh, wow.
They left town. This is before the pandemic.
And they were in a beautiful space right on State Street.
Now it's been repurposed to a mixed. I think there's going to be some residential, some. So you see them taking now the opportunity. In fact, our main corridor, the city developers, that is, they, but our main artery road is called State Street. It runs from the water up and the pier at one end all the way up. And that's that main corridor we talked about. In the pandemic, they shut down the bulk of the corridor of State Street to pedestrian to allow all of the restaurants to move out.
Ah.
Winter, so they could do dining out 365.
Yeah.
And it's been such a success that now we are permanently going to be closing it and making it only and redeveloping it to be very, you know, think, you know, Madrid or Barcelona, like one of those sort of pedestrian boulevard, all the seating and dining out. So it's another one of those glasses of lemonade, you know, of the pandemic is that I think that the city planners are now taking this as an opportunity with some of those vacancies.
Yeah.
And repurposing our main artery to be much more pedestrian friendly. So I'm really excited about that.
And I was also going to say that the nice part, having been here for part of COVID, is you can eat outside. Like the terraces are open 365 days a year. The weather's warm enough to do that. I mean, if it's a little chilly night, they'll have a space heater out there. But it's nice to have those outdoor eating spaces in every restaurant. Offers it, and really it's created a lot less stress during the pandemic to be able to eat outside.
Yeah.
In fact, I think in the last year since we've been here, we've eaten in once
maybe twice.
Just last week. Yeah. We ate inside a restaurant.
Oh, yeah, that pizza.
Yeah. And I was, I thought, oh, this is a weird experience being inside a restaurant again. So I like being able to eat outside. That's another selling feature for Santa Barbara, you know, because our weather is so temperate.
Yeah. Yeah. On that note, I think we can wrap up.
Right.
And any last words of wisdom for retirees or soon to be those who are seeking the same path?
Well, I'll just say that our real estate agent told us when we looked here that Santa Barbara is for the newlywed and nearly dead.
Oh my God.
So it's a popular destination for the nearly dead, meaning retirees.
Hate that.
It's a great place.
I told you.
I love it.
See, Gene hasn't retired yet. And so he doesn't quite get, like, I retired a little while ago, and it's a psychological transition. It's a psychological transition more than anything. I don't care how busy you are. I have a million plans and a million artistic projects, but I'm going through that. I'm trying to avoid that thought of nearly dead.
But we pushed that out, but I just wanted to give her a little point of view on that. And like I always tell Kurt, I feel like I call this Camp Santa Barbara because I feel like I'm in summer camp year round,
every day.
I'm on my bike, I'm swimming. It's really ridiculous. Like I feel like I'm part of the summer camp every day.
Yeah. So you love it there.
Love.
You look like a kid summer camp with your little hoodie, you know.
I love it. No, I love it. No, we don't regret our move for one second. It's the best we've ever done.
And I would just build on that and say, you know, I think that we're so happy. I would say that I am right with Bob on that. And it's because we obsessed about objectively, what are we trying to solve for?
Yeah.
You know, our destination, Santa Barbara, of course, was on a dream list, but we really focused on what are we going to need to make this successful, access to be able to be outside and, you know, in temperate weather, and all the things that we talked about. And my advice would be to focus on the objectives of what are you trying to solve for? And then experience them. We came to Santa Barbara, you know, we spent time there, especially if you're leaving where you are. It's, I think, a little easier if you're thinking, I'm going to downsize in the same town.
Yeah.
That's a different
thing. Rent an Airbnb, spend some time in the town.
And in the particular neighborhoods. And, you know, if you're leaving the town or city that you live in, is to focus on objectives and then spend some time there would be my advice.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you guys so much for your time and generosity, and so great to have met you.
Yeah, that was the first California episode and it was great.
Is that the first California?
Yes.
Cool.
We've had almost.
A few. Yeah.
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 Palm Springs we had almost, but that didn't, it fell through. And happened.
So you guys are the first.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
It's interesting. Palm Springs is a really interesting one because it's become a 365. It used to be
just the
snow. It's like parts of Scottsdale or something, which has also become 365.
Yeah.
You know, they have now their snowbirds from Canada and Chicago and everywhere else. But now it's just people living there 365, part of the LA exodus. In fact, most people fleeing LA that were staying in the state went Palm Springs. Some came to Santa Barbara, but a lot. So you'll see, you know, a lot of people. Anyway, that's that I think would be an interesting story because we're the coastal version.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
they're the desert version.
And I will also say that many gay men retire to Palm Springs. It's a really big gay destination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just flock there and it's lovely. Palm Springs is lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for me, the weather is too damn hot for.
Oh, I would hate that.
I mean, it's 110 in the summer.
Yeah, yeah. Please. Whereas
in Santa Barbara, it's 75 or 80 on the coast.
Yeah. Wow.
Listen, no one needs air conditioning all the time.
Yeah. You know? So I would wilt there. I would not like it.
But that goes back to the objectives.
That's right.
Like there are some people that love warm weather.
Yeah.
I know.
More cold you are all the time. So, but Palm Springs, that would be a good one for you guys, I think.
We agree. And by the way, if you guys know anyone who's retired there, feel free to send it to us.
Yeah, we don't have any friends that have retired to Palm Springs, even though a lot of people have, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, anywhere else. But
Palm Springs is much more affordable than Santa Barbara. Is that right?
Much more. Oh yeah.
It's a
quarter of the price of Santa Barbara.
And the driver.
What?
Yeah.
The driver of that is they're not landlocked. So it's like Phoenix in Tucson where you can keep building out.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can't build out here. Like this is it. Like, yeah. So Palm Springs, Palm Desert, Cathedral City, Rancho Mirage. All of them, they can keep going out.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of new inventory coming on the market.
Yeah.
Where we have very little new inventory.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know. Yeah.
I was going to say Palm Springs is relative by California standards is somewhat affordable. I mean, it's gone up like every place.
Yeah.
But in comparison to the California coast, it's a lot cheaper.
Mm.
And
same thing. It's like they have a nice airport, but you can't fly to Paris, but you can get, San Francisco.
Yeah,
the regional kind of.
And if you need to, same thing, you can access all of the arts, everything.
Yeah,
you can
LA
just drive into LA and spend the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
And as you know, when you retire, it no longer is the weekend thing. You can take advantage of those midweek rates and go in and spend Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and go to the Getty during the week, So it's similar in the access to a major city that Santa Barbara. It's,
So you mentioned the airport. The best thing I hear about the airport is the Sonny Bono bust.
I don't know that.
I didn't know that. Well, I assume
it's sort of hidden away. It's weird.
Well, they have a darling airport too. We have, in other words, we have our airport is Spanish architecture again, red tile roof, this and that. And it's old school. Wow. Five gates.
Oh, nice. Five gates. Yeah, okay. It's so great.
Most often you're walking out on the tarmac and climbing the stairs, not even in a jetway.
Yeah.
And you're through security within 5 minutes. So, you know, you get there, you know, 30, 40 minutes before your flight. That's plenty of time. Yeah. So it's super low stress. It's a lovely
Springs
airport.
Is, and Palm Springs is similar. Same way.
Yeah.
It is very similar to a senior healthcare, a big enough airport close to a major city, you know, so it's just not coastal. So it's the other end of the weather continuum.
Yeah.
We have to really a lot of things similar to us.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Nice to meet you.
Happy Mother's Day again.
Bye-bye. Oh, thank you. Okay. Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you know someone who's relocated for retirement and wishes to share their story with us, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is gg@retirethere.com. Our website is retirethere.com, and you may follow us on Twitter @retirethere_. Now, if you've liked our show, please subscribe and rate it in Apple Podcasts. In the meantime, be well.